It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And in case any of you are wondering, yes, this program is live. It is the 4th day of July, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that takes place in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All times in between and the great globe round. Hi, I'm Robin. It is ostensibly Independence Day, 2022. Not feeling terribly independent right now. And it's worth reminding people, all of us, that from the moment of fertilization, a woman has no rights to speak of. Y'all might start sending me emails saying, stop saying that, Robin. I'm not going to stop saying it. Because this is our reality. And there's just not a lot of independence to celebrate if you're not a white, straight, cisgender, Christian man. Now, if you're one of those, you're in the clear. Woo, you got, oh my mercy sakes alive, you got rights. Lots and lots of rights. But, you know, the rest of us, the not straights, the not cisses, the not whites, the not Christians, the not men. Well, I mean, look, it's the 4th of July, it's the middle of summer. And so, you know, celebrate, well, it's like what Lady B said not long back, you know, we'll celebrate being together and still being here and being family. By the way, if you pop into the chat room, you'll be greeted by early arrivers, Kid Mark and Squeaky. Hey, y'all. Hopefully more folks will wander by. I don't know. I don't know if anybody expected this program to be live. I said it might be, it might not be. But it's going to be, because I did everything that I set out to do today. Oh, mercy sakes. The barbecue. I just keep getting better. I mean, that's about as egotistical as I can get, but my barbecue just keeps getting better. Maybe it's all a warm-up for Horn In 2. If there's any interest in that for, say, early June 2023. But did some ribs and did three pork shoulders, actually. And my daughter-in-law made some pretty watermelon slices and worked up some other sides. And, you know, it's just been very low-key. We're having fun and enjoying each other's company. And every now and then I pop by and I tell little Lily June or little Junie Lee or little Lily Lee, or I'm still, like I said, I'm still settling on what her proper nickname's going to be. She's just so tiny, and she's so beautiful, and I tell her I can't wait until she can be out with me and be bopping around the yard while I'm making barbecue, her and her big sister. It's going to be sweet. But that's not why I'm on the air. I mean, I did. I got done everything I wanted to do. But, you know, there's news today, and Jesus, it's not good news. Not good news at all. We had an outbreak of a Second Amendment celebration in Highland Park, Illinois, today. Just so damned sad. But I'm getting ahead of myself. There's other stuff to talk about. We'll get to each and every bit of it. But I neglected, at the end of the month of June, and this is all on me, to say thanks to our Patreon subscribers. And so that is, that's job one. And so consequently, in addition to second, third, and fourth of the month PayPal subscribers, we say thank you to Christopher. Thank you so much. Thank you to Lori. Thank you to Dave and the Blind. Thank you, Troy. Troy, it was great to see you a couple of weeks ago. Thank you to Janice. Thank you, David. Thank you to Eve. Thank you, Rico. Thank you to Jake. Thank you to Nancy. Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you, Ed. Thank you to Oak. Thanks to Michael of the Guffins. Thank you to Baltimore Bob. Thank you to Jeff in Slow. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, James. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Annette. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Lori. Thanks to Vernon in San Diego. Thank you, Kat in Ohio. Got Ohio in the news, too. Ohio. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, KW. Thank you, Irwin in Montana. Thank you, Barb. Thank you, Horst in Taiwan. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Terrace. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, and thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you all so very, very kindly for what you do to keep this program on the air. And with that having been said, then thanks as well to our PayPal subscribers for the second, third, and fourth of the month. That means, working in reverse order, thank you so very kindly to thank you to Paul, and thank you to Kim and Malin. Thank you to Thomas. Thank you so much to Lady B. Thanks to Ann and Jean across the pond. Thank you, John. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Bill in Allentown. Thank you. Thank you to our buddy Zed. And thanks to Elizabeth. Thank you so much. Thank you, Rocco. Thank you, one and all. So here we are. We stand at $400 to go. We have $100 left from last week. And 300, you know, the usual 300. So hopefully we can knock some of that down, because, as usual, the wolf lives on the lives at the door of the fabulous Horn Studios. But thank you. Thank you. I had planned to start the program, whether it be this one or if I was going to go tomorrow. By the way, I'll be filling in for Malloy tomorrow night. So I hope you'll join me for that. Mike, don't freak out. I just talked to him. But Mike Dunn got the Rona. And he sounds okay, and he's getting appropriate treatment. And, but, you know, feels like crap. So I'll be putting the spark to the tinder tomorrow evening around the Truth Seeker campfire, and I hope you'll join me for that. As for today, well, I had different plans, like I said, either today or tomorrow. I was going to start out talking about, oddly enough, a parade. And here I am, this 4th of July, 2022. In the Second Amendment states of America, talking about a parade. Just a little hometown 4th of July parade. Like I said, Highland Park, Illinois. It's a fairly well-to-do area. Their parade kicked off at 10 a.m. Central Daylight Time today. And about 10 minutes after the parade had started, well, there was an outbreak of freedom. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, shots were fired about 10 minutes after the parade kicked off at 10 a.m. Monday, striking an unknown number of parade goers and sending hundreds of people running for safety. Multiple people were shot. A reporter saw five people bloodied. A blanket was covering one person. At last check, there were six confirmed dead. At least 24 people have been hospitalized. And then the obvious, and by the way, last I saw, if you've seen otherwise, please let me know. Last I saw was that the purveyor of the Second Amendment freedom, the shoveler of the Tree of Liberty's natural manure, is a young white man. Surprise! Somewhere between 18 to 20 years old. He's got long dark hair and he's at large still. I checked in, I checked in to see if Harris in Reno was taking any bets on whether he would be captured alive. Apparently the bookies will not take that bet because he's a young white guy, so it's almost a lead pipe cinch certainty. They were offering 2-to-1 odds on whether or not he was taken to Burger King or White Castle. Miles Zaremski, a resident of Highland Park, told the Chicago Sun-Times, "I heard 20 to 25 shots, which were in rapid succession, so it couldn't have been just a handgun or a shotgun." And in the aftermath of the outbreak of Second Amendment freedom by a lawful gun owner, it looked like a scene from a horror movie. Blood on the pavement, the chairs, and baby strollers. Abandoned as people fled for their lives. It was, what do you call this, pathos? What's the word for this? Apparently, little children, Jesus Christ. When the grown-ups started panicking at the sound of the gunfire, little children who have been put through active shooter drills all their young lives remained composed. Shooting was really thought to be around the 600 block of Highland Avenue. And Kristen Carlson. She and her family were late getting to the parade. And as they approached the parade route, they noticed that people were running at them. People were screaming that someone was shooting. Because this, by God, this is Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, and forever in the universe, under God, amen. Sobbing, Kristen Carlson said, it didn't register to me that they were shots, but then people started running. All these people were running at us, and they were screaming that there's a shooter and to run. And then the sirens were so loud, and people running, coming, running at us, and then we were running. And then there were some people who weren't necessarily from the immediate area, and we gave them shelter in the backyard. And eventually, everyone got home. They were picked up. Her two older kids were helping younger children find their mommies and daddies. People just ran and they left their stuff and people were running. It was terrifying. You could see the terror on their faces. I know I helped a little boy, Andrew. I helped him get back with his family. And then there was another little boy who was maybe 7 and he was by himself. And another little boy about the same age came over to him and said, what's your name? And he said, my name's Blake. And that little boy said, Blake, run. Come with me. The little boy's family took Blake and they ran. They were running and the mom was panicked and looking for him. She didn't know where he was and I didn't know where he ended up. And she knows the family. Kristen does. And they're taking care of the little fella till he can find his own family. She went on and explained, it struck me that these kids were like between 7 and 10. They were scared. They had terrified looks on their faces, but they were so composed because they've been through active shooter drills and they knew what to do. They knew what to do because of moments like now. Well, thank you for that. Andy the Angry Jew, haven't heard from you in a while, Andy. It's good to hear from you, just I wish it wasn't under circumstances such as this. Andy says, I live about 20 minutes from Highland Park, very big Jewish population, just saying. Well, it would make sense, wouldn't it? And Andy, I'm sure you're monitoring in real time closely. Any word on the shooter yet? Have they found the lawful gun owner yet? Of course, he's just being referred to the shooter as the shooter, and a young man with dark, long hair between the ages of 18 and 20. They'll take that long hair, and I'm sure if it hasn't happened already, Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of the desert, will be swearing, well, the shooter had long hair. That must mean they're a transgender. I wish I wasn't so good at this. But, I mean, there's not, you know, it's not like I have to get out the tattered purple robe with the frayed moons and stars on it and will thee kiss me in the dark daddy written across the front. No. This is easy. This is just what America is. This is who we are. Some of us were, I guess, trying so hard to pretend that there was something even vaguely or faintly normal about this Independence Day. A lot of us didn't feel much like celebrating, frankly, for what I would trust to be obvious reasons. But people, well, it's kind of like other holidays in the wake of the first couple of years of COVID, people got really excited about Christmas. Every holiday, because they were just itching to get out. They were itching to feel like things were normal. And it mostly hasn't sunk in for people yet that in this America, in the National Ruble Association's America, in the America of our majestic, most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties, normal is only a setting on a dryer. And of course, somewhere in the suburbs of Maryland, or maybe at a cabin in the mountains somewhere, maybe Neil with a K, Gorsuch, has gone back to his beloved Colorado, and he's sitting in some mountain cabin enjoying the cool breezes and the whispering in the of the leaves and the aspens. And this doesn't mean anything to him except for the fact that it's all going according to plan. That's all. It's all just going according to plan. Thanks, Andy. Andy gives us an update. Nothing on a shooter yet. Route 41, about 1 mile west of the shooting, is a straight north-south route, either to Wisconsin or Indiana. I'm sure they'll find the little prick, but I don't think this was so random. I don't either. Kind of wonder, and at some point maybe we'll find out, kind of wonder where what part of it was, part of the parade was that where he started shooting. Oh, wait. And, you know, with reference to the Jewish population there in Highland Park. Well, there's a little bit of video. And the float going past just happens to be the Maxwell Street Klezmer Band. You don't hear a lot of the shooting there, but in the video you can hear a couple of muffled screams at the end, and whoever was shooting it had stopped. Well, whoever was videoing, shooting is a problematic word now. Whoever was taking the video had pointed their camera to the ground. The vehicle had stopped. A child ran out into the street to pick up some candy. And then in this little 13-second clip, suddenly the camera stops focusing on the Klezmer band on the back of a flatbed truck, which had come to a stop, and instead you do see people beginning to run as the terror begins to sink in. The terror brought to you by the Supreme Court of the United States. The terror brought to you by the National Rifle Association. The terror brought to you by the Republican Party. The terror brought to you by the Federalist Society. The terror brought to you by any person or outfit that's ever said, the Democrats are going to get my guns. The terror, plain and simple. The terror. Because this is where we live. What started out as 5 dead and 16 wounded rapidly expanded to 6 people dead and 24 wounded. And this is terribly cynical to say, but the ugly reality of it is that the Republican Party exists entirely to make sure these things keep happening. It would have been, I'm sure if the young white male had access to an AR-15, he might have gone with a pistol. But the thing is, if he was between 18 and 20, and he's not over 21, he couldn't have bought a pistol. He would have had to get it somewhere else. But even if he'd had a pistol, even if he'd had, say, a Glock 19 that carries 19 rounds in a double stack configuration in the magazine, That's still 19 rounds. He would have had to stop and reload. Not so with an AR-15. With maybe 100 rounds. If six people are dead, that's 30... It's possible some people were wounded or killed by, you know, more than one person by a single round. I mean, these things are high-powered, high velocity, with tremendous power. But they tend to do massive explosive damage inside soft tissue. And so that's at least 30 rounds, right? Is it fair to make that assumption? You know, I failed to mention on Friday, because, you know, other things. And by the way, Matt in San Francisco with an observation says, whatever happened to mattress sales? We no longer mark the holidays by mattress sales, now we measure by body count? Oh, for fuck's sake! I know. And think about the ones that, I hate the term, but think about the bullets that people dodged. Oh, by the way, there was a huge, heavy police presence in Highland Park, Illinois today. I don't know if their parades are anything like the parade that I was involved with on Saturday. But like fire engines came from all over Fayette County, and let's see, the National Park Police truck was right behind us, and they were all having just a gloriously good time with their sirens. And it took me a good 12 hours for the ringing in my ears to stop. And, you know, I mean, I've got tinnitus already. And there were lots of police at the parade I was involved in. They were basically guiding traffic and making sure that nobody was, you know, an asshole. And it was an adorable little parade. Maybe talk about that in a minute, because there was an aspect of it that's actually kind of uplifting. But in the face of this, I don't know. Lee in New York says, "I'll stereotype Jews at a parade. You can see in the link's photo that the parade had a klezmer band." I know. Latest tally that Lee has found: 6 dead, 31 injured. How far is Highland Park, Illinois from Skokie? I mean, just curious. And of course, in case you were wondering, Nazis marched in Boston this weekend, because we can't be free if we don't let the Nazis march. At least, and you know, being Nazis, they had lots of flags, Merkin flags. One of them was carried upside down as a sign of distress. God. But Matt in San Francisco's right. Of course, I did get, let's see, I got messages for Happy 4th of July from Jockey Underwear. Happy 4th of July from Shoe Carnival. Let's see, Happy 4th of July from Leading Lady Lingerie. 4th of July sale at CVS. 4th of July sale at, Get Living, CBD stuff. Yeah. The capitalist impulse is still there, without a doubt. But it's gonna... It's going to be like this. It's going to stay like this. You know who the shooter wasn't? A pissed off woman. Nor a pissed off trans or a pissed off gay person or no. If it had been some aggrieved African American person, the headlines would your internet wires would have probably burned down coming into your house, and the for profit media, the multimillionaires, would be screaming about thugs and gangbangers. And over on the right wing, in the right wing cesspit, they probably are doing exactly that. But Joe Biden, but Barack Obama, Chicago, Joe Biden, Chicago, Barack Obama. Let's try a different piece of video in which one can get perhaps a better take on the situation. They're running. That's a child.
I didn't record that. I can't believe that.
A little boy.
Ma.
And suddenly the streets that were filled with parade vehicles . That's freedom you hear. That's what our majestic, most supreme, most puissant, dread sovereign Catholic Majesty says defines America. And will continue to define us. Because we have been rendered helpless. So, with at least 30 people shot, some estimates suggesting that there were at least 50 rounds fired. And again, lots and lots of cops. And they couldn't even find the guy doing the shooting. Oh well. But anyway, I was going to mention another story. Didn't get to it this past Friday. A little something that happened in Floyd County, Kentucky. There, the cop showed up. Older, white guy. Lawful gun owner. Kentucky State Police responded to a call of domestic violence at a home. And when they arrived, well, the well-armed, lawful gun owner, the white guy for which the Constitution was written, ambushed the cops. He killed 3 state police members, sent others scurrying for their lives, until they did, in fact, finally capture him alive. The mugshot shows what happened to him after they captured him alive. I guess it's, I mean, his face was more purple than it was pink. then I guess maybe we'll sit and we'll maybe achieve some sort of consensus that, well, that's understandable. North Shore Highland Park Hospital back in Illinois said that a vast majority suffered gunshot wounds, and the remaining sustained injuries as a result of the ensuing chaos at the parade. You can't fault the cops. You can't fault anybody but the shooter here. And it's not like they stood around outside the door of a classroom while fourth graders were slaughtered. Oh, by the way, Councilman Police Chief Arredondo has finally decided that maybe he'd better go into a different line of work and has resigned from the city council there of Uvalde. It only took a month. And of course, I'm sure the Republicans are out there offering up their tots and pears. I don't have the heart to go into the right-wing cesspit and find out exactly what degree of filth and ugliness they are presently involved in. It's just not good for me. Not good for you either. And at the same time that six people were being slaughtered and 31 others maimed in Highland Park, Illinois, roughly the same time, not exactly the same time, Alex Jones had an announcement. Oh, my God. Get the hockey puck. You know, it'd be great if we could say Alex Jones. No. Millions and millions and millions of people listen to Alex Jones and take him for gospel. The same as they do with Pink Shrek, Joe Rogan. Of course, we never really want to delve deep enough into the lives of a lawful gun owner who happens to be between 18 and 20. And opens up on a parade or in a room full of, to find out just exactly who's radicalizing him. Again, odds are the shooter in Highland Park was not radicalized by Alex Jones or Pink Shrek or, I don't know, Ben Shapiro or Charlie Kirk. No. Odds are that all happened in the privacy of his home, on the privacy of his interweb tubes. But nonetheless, Alex Jones, hockey puck. You know, it works better when I get all the buttons right. There.
I declare this July 4th, 2022, to be a declaration of independence against the alien force on this planet today, waging war against humans and our biology and our very future that is attempting to exterminate the majority of us and force the minority that's left to merge with AI computers and become cyborg slaves of Satan.
You know... It's a curious thing, though.
Alex is worried about people being converted to cyborg slaves of Satan by merging with the AIs.
Here's the problem. Saw a report recently that showed that, amazingly enough, it's not like there wasn't data out there to begin with. I mean, I remember seeing them. You probably remember it from a few years ago. Was it Microsoft that released an AI bot on Twitter, and it took less than 24 hours for it to turn into a Nazi? Well, it's still happening. apparently it's a broader phenomenon with artificial intelligence. You turn it loose, and the next thing you know, you got a white supremacist Nazi on your hands. And the more computer literate people can, you know, because we've had this conversation about things like algorithms in the past. You know, an algorithm is only as good as the person who programs it. So are these AIs turning into white supremacist Nazi, I don't know, what are they, the proud CPUs? I mean, can an AI be involuntarily celibate? I don't know. But they're doing that. Yeah. Remind me again about all the celebrating today. You'll notice I'm here. I'm live. So, didn't take the day off, now did I? Made some dinner for my family. That's all. And every pet and no small number of veterans will be horrified later this evening with massive fireworks displays. I know people who love their fur babies very, very much, and every time fireworks season comes around, they cringe. But you know, people have been putting off fireworks since they were invented somewhere in Asia. What, 1,000 years ago, something like that. Marco Polo allegedly brought it back from gunpowder back from China. But don't get yourself too entirely worked up about just another slaughter in America. There's a maggot who's running for governor of Illinois. His name is Darren Bailey, and he was out at a 4th of July rally today. And in his remarks, well, dear God, this. Okay, crappy audio. Let's try a different channel. You'd think I'd learn. Bye, Alex. Like I said, Darren Bailey is the Trump-endorsed gubernatorial candidate who wants to go to Springfield and run Illinois into the ground, all under the guise of making Illinois great again. Wrong accent, I know.
20 minutes away from here in Highland Park, there was a shooting. There were several people that we know have been shot. That's all we know. And we're just going to take a moment and pray for the families. Friends, let's pray for the law enforcement and even the organizers of this parade. They've done an amazing job. There's a lot of confusion and frustration that the parade's being canceled, but they did the right thing because people's safety has got to come first. The shooter is still at large, so let's pray for a...
Yeah, hold on a minute. Hold on. Did you catch that? He had to explain that they did the right thing by canceling the parade. I can't help the fact that this engenders questions in me. Like, who was the person who... or people who were upset that the parade was canceled. Y'all, hey, quit. Don't cancel the parade. Just because there's an outbreak of freedom here in Highland Park and there's 6 people dead and 31 people shot up. I mean, for God's sakes, keep parading. Get the klezmer band back.
and then let's move on and let's celebrate the independence of this nation. We know the mission. We have got to get corruption and evil out of our government, and we have got to elect women of honor and of courage to get this country and this state back on track. So right now, if you would, join me in prayer for the families affected and for the law enforcement as they do their jobs. And it's been a tough weekend in Chicago. So, Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for this beautiful...
No, he's one of those Father God guys. Why don't they just start calling him Daddy? Daddy God. But you heard that. Now, we're going to pray here for a minute for the... Oh, for the shot-up people and their families, and then we're just... And his words, not mine. Now let's move on and celebrate. Move on and celebrate. At a time when the blood on the sidewalks of Highland Park was not even congealed. Because that's, well, that's who they are. Oh, I know. Not all maggots. Not all white people are Nazis, but all Nazis are, well, you know. It's who they are. Sorry. And so, you know, y'all, they're going to do it again and again and again and again. And I don't know if there's certainly no solace in my words. I guess on this so-called Independence Day of 2022, I hotted up the mic just so maybe we'd have an opportunity to grieve together. To grieve. No, I was actually gonna tell you about what happened Saturday. Kind of turned to ashes in my mouth. But I was invited to walk with the group of women who had built a float with a uterus on it, a tissue paper uterus. And as I arrived there, well. To say that the skies were threatening is an understatement. The skies were positively Shakespearean. The clouds had lowered on our housetops. But we gathered and we lined up, and I was so proud and so happy to be part of that group. And we had a little talk before the parade took off. By the time the parade got underway, we were all in rain slickers and umbrellas and soaked to the bone. I mean, it was that silver dollar-sized rain. Great peals of thunder. And all those fire trucks with their sirens going. But we walked along. There were information bags that had reproductive health information, information about foster care, how many kids are in it, information about how much more dangerous it is to be a pregnant woman in the United States of America, even before the Dobbs decision, than any other so-called developed country in the United States of America. Down at the bottom of the bag, a couple of condoms. It was made very clear, these are to be given out only to adults. And a very good job was done with it. And there was lots of candy for the kids. The streets, Maple Avenue and Court Street and Fayetteville, were positively littered with Smarties and Laffy Taffy and Tootsie Rolls and little individual lemon head lemon drops and atomic fireballs and the like. But the most amazing thing happened. It was, well, until this morning, truly inspiring, and I was terribly excited to share the story. Fayetteville's a small town. West Virginia's a small state. And by the way, each and every one of us were walking along, and we had our little badges on for Gabe Pena, the fellow that I ran against in the primary. I had one on, too, because I'm a political grown-up, and I know that, well, he would be orders of astronomical magnitude better than that theocratic fascist Tom Fast, who was also in the parade. So here's the thing. We had a little talk, talked about the things, the candy and the bags. And then, most particularly, please don't engage with any hecklers. Don't engage with them. Don't argue with them. Pass them by. Let them be who they are. We're going to do what we're going to do, and we're going to stay on task. Very well organized. And then, in this little West Virginia county seat, in this little West Virginia county, in this little state of West Virginia, this state that is so often described in when they parachute in a news team for a Trump rally or a mine explosion or 300,000 people poisoned by coal chemicals dumped in the drinking water supply. So often described as a blood-red state that used to be a Democratic stronghold. That's the way it is. Well, it really did. It verged on a miracle. We had the sirens going, all the fire trucks behind us and everything, but we could see and hear what was going on up ahead of us. And, you know, people, you know, the cars with the politicians in it and whatnot, and the local baseball team, you know, on the play, they all went by. But when the women's reproductive rights group went by, hell, you would have thought we were in Massachusetts or California. Because a cheer went up. A lusty, loud, lasting cheer. Yelling and hollering and clapping and thumbs up for the reproductive rights of women. And I looked around at my sisters who were walking along in the group, and all of a sudden I noticed that each one of them had a tear or two coming from their eyes. And I put my hand up to my own, and though it had been raining, I noticed I too had one, or two, or three, or a dozen. It's one of the most beautiful moments than I've ever experienced. But beforehand, in the briefing before we stepped off, be aware, pay attention, know your surroundings. And apart from some driving rain, it all came off without a hitch. And I came away from there more inspired than I've been in a while. Because at least that small town in West Virginia still believes. But then again, 80% of this country wants women to be fully vested citizens. It's just that toxic majority in the Supreme Court and the dead-enders and hard cases of the maggot GOP and the rest of the GOP, too, for that matter, that is desperate to take away the personhood of women. What a contrast. What a contrast. And then, you know, like I said, it was about probably around 11:20, 11:30 my time when all of a sudden I saw my notifications just blow up. Probably a bad term. One after another, all the news outlets. Gunman opens fire on parade in Highland Park, Illinois. Multiple victims. And I guess an honest question to ask is, was anyone surprised? Were you? Were you at all surprised? Did this strike you as strange or out of the ordinary? Because if it did, I got to break it to you, and I'll break it to you as gently as I can. This is the new normal. Anytime you think you're having just an ordinary day in Merca, well, the new definition of an ordinary day in Merca is that somebody somewhere may very well open fire. We've talked for years and years and years about the NRA's roulette wheel of death. It's real. It's real. And it always spins. It no sooner stops and the marble lands in Highland Park, Illinois, then it's spinning again. It started spinning the minute that the shots stopped being fired in Uvalde, Texas, and then it stopped in Floyd County, Kentucky, and then it stopped today in Highland Park, Illinois. Just long enough to drop the marble, and then it's going again. And I don't know if it'll stop tomorrow or the next day or the day after that, but it will come to a stop, and it will come to a stop somewhere in a most horrifying fashion. And some Republican will jump up and offer tots and pears. And meanwhile, the handmaid will, I don't know, shrug her shoulders and say, "Heh, it's a living." Depressing, isn't it? Sorry. That's me, a little ray of sunshine. Who radicalized the shooter? Lee in New York wants to know. Could it be Tucky O. Rose, the testicle toaster? Just asking. Again, pure speculation, but probably not. It is much more likely to be one of these sewers. Whether it be, Telegram or WhatsApp or 4chan. Because it's hard to tell what it is that 18 to 20 year old young men with AR-15s are looking at, interacting with, online. Lee also adds, AI, artificial intelligence, far more often than not, code needs to be fixed or enhanced. For example, Google Chrome is up to version 103. We're better at the artificial than we are at the intelligence. Well, somebody... So is the thing just crawling the whole internet and finding out that the dominant species in the internet is a goddamn white supremacist Nazi? Or is that, do they find out about the AI and then they just go and interact with it until it becomes like them? Some weird shit. Kevin in Colorado Springs says, I can't help but wonder, where's the good guy with a gun that was supposed to be shooting back at the formerly lawful gun owner? Nope, no one's shooting back, not even any of the police officers at the parade. So no good guy with a gun must be because that Alex Jones cyborg AI intelligence thing. Yeah, that's got to be it. Kevin in Colorado Springs. And look, maybe I was being unnecessarily harsh on the cops there. There were lots and lots of cops in Highland Park. But so what? You know, the cops can take down an unruly dude who's decided to do some day drinking on the 4th of July and goes to the parade drunk and decides to tear his clothes off and run out and dance to the klezmer band, Stark Raven, Star Spangled, naked. The cops can handle that. But I don't necessarily fault them for not pulling out their freedom protectors and starting to randomly shoot amongst the crowd. I got him. No, there he is. No, not, God damn it, that's me. Stop shooting. Because you can see how that could devolve into a far worse situation. Because this is the nature of an ambush. The ambusher gets the drop on the ambushees, and the cops were the ambushees, and the people in the parade were the ambushees. And it makes so patently obvious the stupidity of the Wayne the Peters of the world. And the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy. Well, then apparently there's no... Well, wait a minute. There was that thing in Birmingham a couple of weeks back where a good guy with a gun was stopped by an old guy with a chair. Matt in San Francisco. The red, white, and blue. Red for the blood. White be the shooter. Blue for the cops who stand by and watch. God bless America. Indeed. It's unfortunately hewing a little too close to the bone. By the way, 6 or 7 miles from Highland Park, I asked the question earlier, and Andy the Angry Jew said, Skokie's not that Jewish anymore. I wonder if the information, and again, this is not me, you know, channeling my inner Pink Shrek. But I wonder how long it will take, and if there will be any meaningful coverage as to why this young white man did what this young white man did. And then, because I mentioned it earlier, there's Ahaya. And I don't even know if this is a matter of the law of unintended consequences or if this is actually the law of intended consequences. You know, this isn't let it happen so much as made it happen. In Ohio, of course, you can't get an abortion. A pregnant person cannot get an abortion. And, you know, we often make the mistake, some people get upset when we say pregnant people, you know, the people who hate trans men, non-binaries, that kind of thing. I hate that term, pregnant people. But we kind of had an example come out of Ohio this weekend, a horrifying, sickening, nauseating example. A 10-year-old little girl found herself to be pregnant after having been raped at something beyond 6 weeks pregnancy, six weeks pregnancy, which nominally is the cutoff in Ohio. I mean, first you got to let that part settle in. The pregnant because of a rape at 10 years old. Tend to still think of a 10-year-old as a little girl. But she's pregnant. She could get pregnant. And I guess the Republicans would say, well, that makes her a woman. Okay. But somebody raped her. And that's horrifying and triggering enough. But Ohio because, among other things, Ohio is where that stupid heartbeat bill garbage got started. Still trying to figure out how something that doesn't have a heart can have a heartbeat. I don't know. But boy, howdy, they were sure so excited and happy and praising the Father God Daddy. Because they done ended the abortions. And then the goddess of irony stepped in. And sometimes she's just downright mean. And this is one of those times. And so, the 10-year-old under Ohio law is stuck. Stuck. All those Republicans who said, well, it ain't the little baby's fault that there was that it was created by rape. Father God, Daddy, protect that little girl and that other little girl or boy or whatever it is that and so a great deal of effort had to be expended to get that little girl from Ohio to Talibandiana, where, amazingly enough, abortion services would still be available to her, so that she wouldn't have to be a 10-year-old mommy. Now, I'm no endocrinologist, but is 10 typical for the onset of menses? Is 10, menarche? Is it typical to be fertile at 10? And I'm asking for a specific reason, because that sounds like precocious puberty to me. And curiously, we have medications to treat that. If the child had been appropriately cared for. And it could have let her go on being a non-menstruating kid for a couple of more years. But precocious puberty is becoming more and more and more of a thing in this country. For a variety of reasons. And so they had to literally move heaven and earth to make sure that that child would not have to bear that child. And it's exactly what the Republicans wanted. I don't know where that nasty old Republican, maybe he's gone on to hell by now, what she should have done is put an aspirin between her knees. God! How can they be so horrible? As I was on my way over on Saturday, I caught some public radio program. Maybe it was This American Life or whatever. But they were covering the mad scramble to maintain access to reproductive care in the places where it's still legal. And there was a particular focus on a massive Planned Parenthood center in Illinois. And they gave some indication of just exactly how difficult it is for, say, a woman in Tennessee to find her way to Illinois. Because, of course, Tennessee is a theocratic fascist state where a woman, from the point of fertilization, has no rights to speak of. But the next chapter in, and I think it was This American Life, I could be wrong, but the next chapter dealt with a Catholic family who was throwing a big 4th of July or some kind, no, whatever, party in the backyard of their home there, and they had their priest there,
and they were just absolutely overcome with the joy and the love of Jesus Christ for finally ending this nightmare of women having rights in America.
And as has been the case with just about every news story on this topic from a week ago last Friday to now, I found myself shaking with rage and horror as the person interviewing the rapturous Catholic lady asked her about what it means to her. Well, after all these years of fighting for all of these precious little babies, we all the bus rides and all the discomfort and all the dead babies, we finally have our victory. Thank you, Jesus. And the disgusting priest was there doing his victory lap in the backyard. And I was listening to the interview going, when are you going to ask her about the women who commit suicide because they can't get an abortion now? When are you going to ask her about the woman that bleeds to death into her own abdomen because of her actions and all those goddamn bus rides to keep her from having reproductive freedom? When are you going to do that, hon? And she was silent as a graven image. Because I guess objective journalism. The time for objectivity is well past. Oh, thank you. Serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, there's Ralph's. Foster Freeze. In my days, gals put aspirin between their knees for contraception. Now, that was 2012, back when the term war on women first got coined. Back when, I guess, they were just skirmishes. Back when Rush Limbaugh, the Pineapple Prince, was still among the quick and babbling about insurance companies paying for slut medicine, my friends! That. That's who it was. Christy Noem, who thinks herself quite the presidential timber, the toxic governor of South Dakota stan, Flavio reminds us, did pirouettes to avoid answering whether we could make an exception for a 10-year-old. Yeah, that clip would be worth having. Let me see if I can round that up. Sometimes, instead of talking about it and quoting them, it's better to hear them in their own disgusting voices. So she showed up on a show on CNN to talk with Dana Bash, and judge for yourself.
Elm of South Dakota, where abortion is now illegal, except in the case where the life of the mother is at risk. She is also the author of a new book, Not My First Rodeo. Governor, thank you so much for joining me this morning. This is a very new world with a lot of unanswered questions. So I want.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I can't just let. Author of a new book, Not My First Rodeo. You know, that's the sure sign that somebody thinks they're going to run for president. They get a ghostwriter and they. Not My First. Is it subtitled A Clown Story? Sorry, couldn't resist.
I want to spend some time this morning trying to understand some of the many aspects of this major shift in America. And I want to start with something that I've heard you say many, many times over the past few weeks, which is you are going to walk alongside mothers and their children after this decision. I want to ask you what that looks like. Would you support, for example, South Dakota providing paid parental leave and state-funded child care so mothers can work and care for their children?
Well, family leave policy is something that I addressed as soon as I became governor in South Dakota. I do think it's important that we walk alongside people when they enter into a situation where maybe they have an unplanned pregnancy. And many women feel as though when they have a pregnancy that's not planned, that it's a crisis situation, and we need to do a better job of supporting them. I launched a website called...
Oh, well, she launched a website. That should... That should pay for bringing the baby into the world and raising it for at least 18 years.
Life.sd.gov that makes those connections, helps with medical care, financial services, connects them to nonprofits or even adoptive parents that may choose to parent their child if that's the choice that they make.
And Governor, I went through that entire website, and I'm going to ask you about that in a second. But on the notion of family leave, do you support and will you support when the special session comes in there in South Dakota? Paid family leave or greater access financially to child care?
That's a discussion we're going to have. I think it's important that we back up exactly what I've been saying since I'm governor, that we want stronger families, that I think it's important for children to have families around them and be with them. And that's something that we'll continue to talk about as a priority for our state. I think, you know, what's interesting in South Dakota is that it's very much a legislative process. We get input from legislators. I file bills. They file bills. We debate, have session, and we reflect what the people of the state believe and support.
Yeah, it's a very dynamic situation. I've been following it closely. You have a pretty powerful bully pulpit. What is your position on paid family leave? Will you push for it?
It's something that I've supported in the past and talked about, so giving that flexibility to families. So South Dakota has not had a broad, expansive policy like several other states do, and I think that's a debate that we'll continue to have.
So you're going to
many
push it.
Times it's the financial cost, the medical cost, and the leave policy that many people have a tough time supporting. But I think in South Dakota that the time is right.
Thousands of low-income women in South Dakota without health insurance could be covered during and after pregnancy if your state expanded Medicaid under Obamacare. This is going to be on the ballot there in South Dakota in November. Will you support that?
You know, I think it's interesting because what that does is make sure that Medicaid expansion would cover able.
You know what? You know what's interesting about that? It's a yes or no question. And being a Republican, she can't give a yes or no answer, which means it's probably no.
Full-bodied single individuals that are able to work, and it also would include about an $80 million cost to the state. So that'll be a debate that'll be on the ballot. If it passes, I'll certainly make sure that's implemented fairly and that it's done fairly. It's something that I will continue to look at. That cost to the state is incredible, and the people that it covers are people that are single and able-bodied and able to work. We have many open jobs, very few people in our state that are on unemployment right now.
Will you
and our incomes are going up faster here in South Dakota than anywhere else in the country. So the people of South Dakota economically are doing better, even though we're really struggling with the inflation of the Biden economy and what's been happening with the policies out of D.C.
Just real quick, it's on the ballot. You're a voter, obviously. Will you vote for it?
I won't be voting for it myself personally because of the tax increases that would have to happen to pay for it. But if it is passed by the people, I certainly will implement it.
So you mentioned your website. Many of the resources on that website are federal programs, private organizations. So I'm just trying to understand. You mentioned paid family leave. What else will you do as governor of South Dakota or push for? I understand you have to do it in partnership with the legislature. Since the state is effectively banning abortion, do you believe the state has a greater responsibility to directly support, financially support with services, women, girls, children?
Well, we do that through many of our agencies already.
No, you don't.
So there's many different grants and programs that'll do that. And yes, I do believe that we should. I've told the legislature that clearly, that I think that's a debate we need to have on what more we can do to support mothers in this situation. We have many pregnancy centers and those that do walk alongside those mothers.
Yeah, those crisis pregnancy centers where they show a woman a little tiny king cake baby Jesus and say, wouldn't you hate to see this in your panties? Yeah, that. God, they're... And they'll talk and talk and talk and talk, but in the final analysis, you know, forcing a woman to give birth is still a violation of that woman's rights and a denial of her bodily autonomy. And trying to pour shame some godforsaken maggot Republican like Kristi Noem is a fool's errand.
But we haven't gotten to the good part yet. We haven't gotten to the part that Flavio was talking about.
There's today bringing us ideas, and we'll have that discussion during debate. It's important to know that 2005 is when the trigger law was passed, saying that when the Supreme Court passed this authority by overturning Roe back to the states, that the law of the land would be then that abortion would be illegal except to save the life of the mother. Now that that's the law, then we have to look at what we need to do to address who in those situations, if they do break the law, is punished, and that's the doctors, not the women. I want to make sure that that's appropriate and that the women are not punished in this situation.
Well, you know, that's great, Christy, but your legislature's nuts. And somewhere in your legislature, there's some pasty-faced, doughy old white dude who will find some self-hating woman to work alongside him and start talking about some hard time for, you know, the she-devils who try to get illegal abortions, who try to illegally exercise control over their own bodies. Because that's a thing that we need to... The Supreme Court has declared that it's okay to say that it is a crime for a woman to exercise control over her own body. That's what that is. That's what that phrase means in the dissent. From the point of fertilization, a woman has no rights to speak of. I know, Kim, it drives me crazy too. Jesus Christ, stop saying Obamacare. I know it's semantics, but God damn it, it's 2022 and Dana Bash is still using the name Obamacare. It's the Affordable Care Act, unless your goal is to stigmatize it by using Obamacare. I'm glad I'm not the only one that pays attention to individual words. I was watching briefly. I had to turn it off shortly thereafter, and then we got the news out of Highland Park. I was watching MSNBC earlier today, and some talking head there, I don't know her name, and I think she was, it was during the time that otherwise my Filthy Morning Habit would have been on, but whoever had written her script for her had written the following, and the one word just leapt out of the speakers at me, because, well, go ask Frank Luntz, messaging matters. But, and who was the progressive guy that did Don't Talk About an Elephant out of Berkeley years and years and years ago? Never mind. But she was reading her reader, and she said, even now, let's see if it gets all over you like it got all over me. Even now, Democrats in Congress are plotting to figure out what they're going to do about the Supreme Court's ruling. In Dobbs. It'll take a couple of seconds. It's not like dead air is a new thing to this program. Plotting! Plotting! Plotting. Plotting sounds conspiratorial, doesn't it? Plotting sounds like something dark and done in the shadows. Plotting sounds like something perhaps criminal, or at least wicked or evil, plotting. One plots an overthrow of the government, you know, like what happened in advance of January 6th. Plotting what to do about Dobbs. Plotting. Now, as a practitioner of the art of word knowing, what other words could have been used that didn't carry so much negative freight? Planning? Discussing? Or a bit of a mouthful, seeking consensus? But no, they went with plotting because somebody writing the script back there... I don't know. Does autofill show plotting? Democrats are, and autofill says plotting? You go, oh, okay, plotting. Well, you tell me.
and that we do support them as we go forward.
Well, let me ask you about that. The Indianapolis Star is reporting that a 10-year-old girl in Ohio who was 6 weeks and 3 days pregnant now has to travel across state lines to Indiana to receive an abortion. So I just, because this is a trigger law that was passed before you became governor, I wanted you to be clear. Will the state of South Dakota going forward force a 10-year-old in that very same situation to have a baby?
You know what I think is incredible, Dana, in this tragic story, because I heard about this last night. What's incredible is that nobody's talking about the pervert, horrible, and deranged individual that...
Pervert, horrible, deranged individual. No one's talking about that. Well, honey, that's because that's not the story. The story is that the Ohio legislature wants to force a 10-year-old little girl to have a little baby. That's the story, Christy. God, honey.
Raped a 10-year-old. And what are we doing about that?
I agree with you.
Yeah, well, yeah, what are we doing about that? I mean, where are the cops? Where are the detectives? But see, even if you catch the guy and you prosecute the guy and you try the guy and the guy is found guilty, it still doesn't do a damn thing about the fact that there's a pregnant 10-year-old. I mean, she's from South Dakota. I mean, Deadwood's in South Dakota. Get a rope! But it doesn't help the little girl. But as Darlene in Connecticut puts it, Dana Bash, dumbass bottle blonde, blew that interview when she got to the part about the 10-year-old from Ohio. Watch Gnome try to filibuster and wind down the clock. Why not ask Gnome if she would swear to God and Jesus with her hand on the Bible if nearby that it was her 10-year-old daughter, she'd make her carry the rapist spawn to term and give birth? Oh, well, that's not fair, you know, because we stopped doing those gotcha questions back when Bernie Shaw asked Michael Dukakis if he would still oppose the death penalty if Willie Horton had raped Michael Dukakis's wife. Yeah, but no, as Darlene observes, fucking useless. Just because Dana tried to interrupt multiple times means nothing. It's about substantive questions, Dana. No, for Dana and CNN, it's only about the advertisers and access. Yeah, let the tap dancing continue.
What are we doing about those individuals?
I mean, of course, that is an important discussion to have.
That's an issue that the Supreme Court has weighed in as well.
Listen, I totally understand that.
And as much as we talk about what we can do for that little girl, I think we also need to be addressing those sick individuals that do this to our children.
Yeah, that's great, Christy. But what we got to talk about is what Republicans don't want to do for that little girl, but to that little girl. Because, see, she got raped. And now she's getting screwed all over again by a bunch of upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians. Republicans. Amen. Jesus.
I couldn't agree more. But our bodies are our bodies, and women are the ones who get pregnant. And in this case, it wasn't a woman. It was a girl. Should she have
and
to have that baby?
Every single life is precious. This tragedy.
Every single life, especially the single life inside that little 10-year-old little girl, who, if she had been given appropriate care, might not have even been able to get pregnant in the first place. Puberty blockers. But Christy hates her some puberty blockers, too, because that makes the transes. See how it works?
Is horrific. I can't even imagine. I've never had anybody in my family or myself gone through anything like this. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, because you've lived the life of a privileged white girl. Come on!
But in South Dakota, the law today is that the abortions are illegal except to save the life of the mother.
And you would be okay with that, a 10-year-old girl having to have a baby?
No, I'm never okay with that. In fact, that story will keep me up at night.
Yeah, but you're not going to do a goddamn thing, Christy!
Absolutely.
So
well.
Will you try to change the law
mother,
to have an exception in a situation like this?
Got a one-year-old little granddaughter named Miss Addie. I can't even imagine What I would say is I don't believe a tragic situation.
Oh, she has a one-year-old little granddaughter named Miss Addie. Really? They named her Miss? Trying to nail down that, nail down any subsequent gender confusion there, right? These people. And the people who give them power, see, that's the other part of the equation. It's always the other part of the equation. The people who give them power.
Should be perpetuated by another tragedy. And so there's more that we've got to do to make sure that...
Hold on, that's exactly what I was talking about a few minutes ago.
Yeah, but it ain't the little baby's fault that it was the product of a rape.
How do you keep Punkin from finding out that she's the product of a rape? What happens if that's a little girl? And she goes through life once she's old enough to know. How are they going to hide it from her? I mean, did they hide the fact that the child was down the well for 5 days or however many from little baby Jessica? No. She grew up into a woman with a tormented life. And that was just an accident, not a rape. What's this child going to think growing up knowing the agony that her 10-year-old mother went through? Jesus Christ, by the time the 10-year-old is a junior in high school, her kid will be in kindergarten. How is she going to pick her up from kindergarten? You don't think that child... Hey, Mama, are you my sister or are you my mama? Oh, wait, maybe some family member will raise the child and tell her that they're their kid. And no one must ever say a word. You know, the bigger the conspiracy gets, the less likely it is that the conspiracy can remain in the dark. But yeah, hear this again. It's precious. Every life is precious, even the little rape baby.
That's an issue that the Supreme Court has weighed in as well.
Listen, I totally understand that.
And as much as we talk
that,
about
our...
what we can do for that little girl, I think we also need to be addressing those sick individuals that do this to our children.
I couldn't agree more. But our bodies are our bodies, and women are the ones who get pregnant. And in this case, it wasn't a woman; it was a girl. Should she have to have that baby?
Every single life is precious. This tragedy is horrific. I can't even imagine. I've never had anybody in my family or myself gone through anything like this. I can't even imagine. But in South Dakota, the law today is that the abortions are illegal except to save the life of the mother.
And you would be okay with that, a 10-year-old girl having to have a baby?
No, I'm never okay with that. In fact, that story will keep me up at night. It absolutely
will.
So
will you try to change the law to have an exception in a situation like this?
Got a one-year-old little granddaughter.
Flog your granddaughter!
I can't imagine. What I would say is I don't believe a tragic situation should be perpetuated by another tragedy. And so there's more that we've got to do to make sure that we really are living a life that says every life.
So in other words, Kristi Noem, good God-fearing Republican, actually opposes the child being able to go to Talibandiana for an abortion. Let's be clear on that. She just said so. And she considers that 10-year-old little girl not having to bear a child to be a tragedy. This is the Republican Party. This isn't the maggots. This is the Republican Party. This is who they are. This is who they have been for generations now. An abortion is for a 10-year-old rape victim is a greater tragedy than a 10-year-old rape victim giving birth. It would be so interesting to ask substantive questions instead of this multimillionaire for-profit media babbling from Dana Bash. It would be interesting to ask her a substantive question. So, Dr. Noem, Doc Kristi, what would be your recommendation for the 10-year-old having a baby? Do you advocate Lamaze? Do you advocate natural childbirth? Can she have a spinal? Will she understand when you tell her when not to push and when to push? Or should we just knock her the hell out, slash her abdomen open, pull out the baby, sew her up, and hope she doesn't scar very badly? What are we going to do if she becomes preeclampsic? Gestational diabetes. What, Christy? And of course, if this, and I'm sure they'll have to more or less sneak her in the child, the baby, in secrecy. You know, I don't know about y'all, but we tend to talk about kids as the babies. And you know how it is. If you're the youngest in the family, I don't care if you're 90, you're the baby of the family. And so you know these Mad Hatter, the theocratic Catholics and the like, they'll probably have a funeral. If the 10-year-old gets the abortion, they will probably have a funeral in absentia for the murdered rape baby. God, they're so disgusting. They're probably sitting in their pews or kneeling on their knees right now praying for the rape fetus. And to hell with the little girl. She must have done something. You know how they think. I know, straw man. Tell me it's not believable. Another tragedy.
Life is precious, especially innocent lives that have been shattered like that 10-year-old girl.
Yeah, and it's incredibly complicated, and I get it. But I guess my question is, given how heartbroken you seem to be about the situation...
Really? You're reading heartbreak in any of that, Dana? Girl, you must be a soft touch at a 3-card Monte table.
Yeah, I'm only doing this for my sick grandma.
Maybe the question is this, because what I keep thinking about is, how is a 10-year-old girl physically, no, probably can't even carry a baby without being, never mind emotionally and mentally, sort of tormented, but physically hurt. Would you consider that?
Well, hell with her. If she wasn't supposed to be pregnant, Jesus wouldn't have got her pregnant. I mean, hell, Mary wasn't much older than that. I mean, you know how it is. You know what the Hebrew says? Alma just means little girl. It don't mean virgin. It just means little girl. It's not like it's going to be the first time.
That, the life of a mother at risk?
And I think that's something that, you know, that situation, the doctor, the family, the individuals closest to that will make the decisions there for that family. That's what's interesting about the time we live in right now, is every state will have different laws on the books. The decisions will be made by the legislature.
And none of it will have a damn thing to do with science or obstetrics or gynecology.
Legislators that are closest to the people, that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. It's the way our Constitution intended. And I think that South Dakota's laws may look very different than California's, may look very different than New York's, where that governor has said she wants to become a destination known for providing abortions. Well, that's not our story here in South Dakota.
Yeah.
And I think every governor, every state will make very different decision on what their laws look like.
On that note, if Republicans take back Congress in Washington, would you support a national ban on abortion?
You know, we'll see what Congress does and what those discussions are. I've never, Dana, operated in hypotheticals. I've told people what my values are, how I would lead, And
you lion sack of shit. You were just operating in a hypothetical when you said it would be a tragedy for the little girl not to give birth. That's hypothetical. But it goes on and on and on and on. By the, and enough of this. I hope they can get the little girl. I hope they can get the little girl to Taliban, Deanna. Because, you know, there's still a lot of healing to be done from the fact that she was raped. And there's so much backstory here that there's no beginning to get into it. I know. Lee heard that, too. Lee in New York said, wait, what? The doctors get a choice? Isn't that exactly what they blocked? Well, yes, it is. Flavio says, a 10-year-old's pelvis. Yeah, there is this bone development thing going on. You can see why it was painful to watch, Flavio says. Dana Bash, interview Christy Numb. I wanted to crawl into the TV and strangle both of them. It's hard to pack that much stupid and that much disdain into one little TV screen. I understand. Matt in San Francisco says, interview, is this the same interview where in one sentence she said she felt it was important for a doctor to be present during an abortion from the pill combo? Then a later sentence she said she thought doctors who assist in an abortion should be arrested and prosecuted. These people are liars and they're sick. Thank you for cutting through the fog, Matt. Because both things are true. Now, moving on from that, thank you to Andy for sending this along. Kathy Park at NBC is reporting that police now report that a person of interest, a suspect, Robert Bobby Crimo III, actually C-R-I-M-O, maybe it's Crimo, goddess of irony, lay off a little bit, okay? Robert Bobby Crimo III, 22 years old, is on the run. So he was 18 to 20 was close, but no, he was 22. He was old enough to buy an AR-15. Or pistol. And if certain Republicans had their way, a bazooka or grenades or, I don't know, a howitzer. Stinger missiles, anyone? Robert Bobby Crimo. And the FBI's got a tip line set up. Oh, no. Oh, no. The photos are all coming out of Robert Bobby Crimo. One person observing, hate to say it, but a lot of these young white dudes look like incels. What's the deal with that? Well, because that's what the... But here he is with pink hair and two ponytails. Other photos of him showing him with some kind of copper hair, ball cap, and like, I don't know, kind of Geordi from Star Trek sunglasses. Apparently tattoos of 1, 2, 3, 4 with a stroke through it, like a count under his right eye. Some script word on his face above his left eyebrow. And in the wanted poster, it shows him with his hair brown and grown down over his forehead. Yeah, they'll be calling him a Tran any day now. Any minute now. And, he's got some sort of a symbology. Some sort of, I don't know, kind of runic-looking symbol. Awake. At Robert Crimo. You know, they in incel terminology, they talk about taking the red pill and then taking the black pill. His rapper name is Awake the Rapper, and that's the word that's tattooed over his left eyebrow, Awake. And somebody has already called him Antifa scum, but of course, they misspelled Antifa. And apparently he made a video, a rap video, with that same symbol on his helmet. He had a predilection for putting up at least one video. Robert Crimo archive footage. What is this? It's video footage of Trump landing at an airport somewhere. There goes the motorcade. Hear the cheering. And there's the presidential SUV, you know, the kind that Nitwit Nero tried to grab the steering wheel of. And a picture that he took of himself. And so, you know, oh dear God, it gets weirder and weirder. His father, born and raised in Highland Park, Highland Park High School graduate, self-employed since 1990, have interacted with countless locals thanks to my ownership of White Hen Ravinia, and more recently, Bob's Pantry and Deli at Brayside, listening to a lot of stories and a lot of opinions on how our community could be improved. I'm running for mayor as a person for the people in our community. It's my way of giving back to the community who's been so supportive of me over the years. I will live local and stay local. BobCrimo.com. Wow. Hey, Scott. How are you?
Oh, wow, you're creeped up on me. Like them generic briefs that I used to buy at the dollar store. My God, you scared
Stop.
Me. You know what the gun dealers of America need to do, Robin? I know you know, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Do tell.
Instead of limiting gun ownership by age, let it be a standing rule that if somebody ambles on into your store looking like a reject from a spin art booth at the carnival, don't sell them a gun. I mean, I'm afraid to look at the picture.
Oh, you know? You'll see it sooner or later.
Jesus. And I don't know who...
Kid looks like he's so skinny he has to run around in the shower to get wet. I don't know how they actually managed to get a tattoo needle on him.
Jesus. You mentioned autofill. I don't know if the same guy that did autocorrect also did autofill, but the guy that did autocorrect died. And according to the sign here, the announcement, the funnel will be held tomato. So
well done. I was waiting for that.
Thank you. Jesus. Starting out with my A stuff and not even a tinkle on the bell. I mean, Jesus. But it's Monday. Hey, and by the way, happy birthday, Robin, and happy birthday, America. 246 years young, and the beat goes on.
Well, I was thinking, America lived 246 years and finally succumbed of self-inflicted wounds on July the 4th, 2022.
There you go. I don't know, man, I remember a different America. Maybe I'm living in the past or something, but I didn't, you know, for some years now, I have resisted the temptation of, you know, putting up patriotic bunting around a dwelling for the 4th of July, because it's, there doesn't seem to be a lot to celebrate a lot of the time. I mean, and people say, well, America ain't what it used to be. Ain't what it used to be. I mean, even then, it was mostly made up, a made-up bullshit story designed to keep folks all starry-eyed and stupid. And as I posted here, it's a red, white, and blue wonder we've made it even this far. You know? Am I right?
Yeah, you're not wrong. Right?
And, oh, I know. Something you said a little while ago caught my attention. I stopped calling it the GOP roulette wheel of death. And there's a good, basically logical reason to stop calling it that. I call it the GOP odometer of death. Because odometers, I mean, they click along at a brisk pace. And with roulette, at least you have some slim hope of winning something. At least you have part of a chance. But with the old odometer, you know, as long as the car keeps moving forward, that thing will click and spin and rack up the miles. So it's the GOP odometer of death, I think. But then again, what the hell do I know? It's a holiday, and I'm sitting here.
Well, someone pointing out that it looks like he did what ever so many people in Illinois do. He crossed the state line, and I mean, this is part and parcel of the Chicago problem. Do you see my scared dick finger quotes?
Yes.
Part and parcel of the Chicago problem is that Chicago can pass gun laws, but all you got to do is go across the state line into Wisconsin, and they're practically giving them away with little certificates in gumball machines.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the hair Rottenhouse problem.
Yeah, the kid that went to, what was his name? Rittenhouse,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's, and you know, I mean, God bless, was it Dana Bash?
Yeah, Dana Bash.
I mean.
Yeah, well, let's do the Southern thing. Bless her heart, God love her, she can't help it.
Well, the thing is, it's like, who sits down for 10 minutes? I don't know how long the segment was, but the replay...
9 minutes and 31 seconds.
Holy fuck. But, I mean, she's been in the news business long enough to know that you're going to get GOP speak and slogans and bumper stickers and evasions.
But you have to understand what comes down on high. Don't press them too hard, because then they won't come back.
Well... See, that's
access is the coin of the realm in the multimillionaire for-profit media.
I know that, but see, there's a method to the madness of making them responsible for the words that they use. For me, this argument goes. You know, I'm still even now a watcher of Meet the Press every Sunday, and sometimes Face the Nation, but I hate ABC Sunday Morning. But be that as it may. Going back to, well, let's see, it was, we got the guy that we got now, and then we had David, the sad,
Disco Dave.
What was his name? David, I can't think, what is his name?
All I ever see is him doing the, David Gregory, Disco Dave Gregory, who did the video for, or the rap for MC Rove.
Yes, okay, but... To make my point, we've currently got Chuck Todd, and then before that, for a while, we had David Gregory, and then we had Tom Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw.
With W or R in it, and then just sit back and laugh. So we had Brokaw after Tim Russert passed on, and before him, they had a slew of people. Because for years, a guy named Lawrence A. Spivak was the moderator.
Right, yeah.
And then a bald-headed dude, I forget his name. But anyway, Meet the Press has had a number of moderators. But going back as long as I've ever been watching that show, the consistent problem has been they bring these people on and they do not challenge them in any meaningful way. The reason that they give, as you say, rightly so, is because they're afraid if they alienate the guest or make it too hard on them. I mean, fuck, they give them a continental breakfast, you know, not just a bun and a cup of coffee, but I mean, it's a spread. With
well, I don't know what it's like in Washington, but the green room at NBC in New York in Rockefeller Center is not shabby.
Well, the one in Washington for Meet the Press is I'm telling you, I would pay for a brunch like that. Okay, but the thing is, they say they won't come back. Of course they'll come back, because if they don't have a place to go to spout their madness, they don't get their message out to the masses. Now, they might get their message out to the niche groups like Fox or Onan or something like that, but they thrive on having a place whereupon to spout their nonsense. So, yeah, go ahead and challenge them, damn it. But
you can't convince them of the truth of your assertion, Scott, because, well, it's kind of like some of us used to suggest about the coal industry here in West Virginia. Tax the motherfuckers. It's not like they can take the coal and go put it in somebody else's ground and take it out tax-free. They'll bluster and they'll cry and they'll piss and they'll moan, and then they'll come get the coal and they'll pay the taxes. But there was no... That was back when the two-party system in West Virginia was, and probably still is, comprised of coalocrats and coalicans, okay? Neither one of them could be convinced that they would come back.
But this is a slightly different situation. I mean, corporate media or not, whose program is it, after all? In the case of Meet the Press, it's a national.
Well, it belongs to the advertisers, Scott. That's who it belongs to.
It is subsidized and supported by the advertisers. But when push comes to shove, if something is said on that program that violates the FCC regulations, the people that the FCC write to are NBC Universal. So it's their fucking program and their fucking responsibility to hold a program that is in the public interest, need, and necessity. And part of the public need, interest, need, and necessity is to hold people to account. If you're going to have somebody coming on your program who is a supposed authority on anything, they ought to be able to withstand rigorous questioning. And to me, that would bring in viewers, not make them go away. And if the guest doesn't want to play by those rules, fuck them. You don't get to be a guest anymore. God, I'm wound
and
up.
See, that's why, and that day. Is why you're not a suit at a major network.
Well, and I gotta
bring this up to you because it's a DC story, and you know you were a DC boy born and bred.
Indeed.
So I'm sure there were other 4th of July celebrations in DC today, but there was one in particular I thought noteworthy because it's like, how do they get away with this? I mean, you know, We got some pretty highfalutin law enforcement equipment out there around the greater D.C. Metroplex, don't we?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, so today, an outfit calling themselves the 1776 Restoration Movement, and I'm still trying to figure out what that even means.
Do they wear the three-cornered hats?
Probably. I mean...
Did they have muskets? Because if they don't have the hats and the muskets, no
fifes, no dread. Well, hell, they were in automobiles. Okay, I mean, if you're a 1776 Restoration Movement, don't you have more in common with the Amish than you do with modern society? For Christ's sake,
well, you've at least got to be on George Washington's horse.
Well, they bragged today because for a while there, they blocked several lanes of I-95 into Washington.
Oh, God.
They said, we have literally attacked. Literally attacked. I don't think that, you know, that word. They keep using that word. I don't think it means what they think it means. We have literally attacked 270 into Washington, D.C., 70 into Washington, D.C., 95 north into Washington, D.C., and 95 south into Washington, D.C., all with relatively the same amount of time. This was all done by David Santa Riddell.
Ho, ho, ho.
So they formed up a convoy, and they... Looks like we got us a convoy. And they just slowed traffic to a goddamn standstill, and it being the roads around Washington, D.C., I'm kind of wondering how they could tell.
Yeah, there's that.
But it looks like traffic's kind of moving on the other side. Well, they've got it down to a standstill. And I'm trying to figure out, for the very life of me, how they were allowed to do it. Where were all the traffic cops?
Were they driving?
Yes.
They weren't horsebound.
No. They were not in the little Surrey with the fringe on top from Oklahoma, with the isinglass curtains that'll roll right down in case there's a change in the weather.
Let's go up to Dave and Chopper 12 to check the traffic.
Right, traffic and weather on the 10s.
And there's horse meat all over the highway coming down to 70 South. No, where do they come from?
Because as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
270, as I recall, goes up to Maryland, like Frederick.
Yeah, it's not the beltway. It's a beltway.
Well, it's sort of
it's a perimeter connector.
Yeah, thank you, Dave and Chopper 12. But and there's horse meat all over the
Always happy to help, Scott.
270 South. God. But yeah, where are they based? Does it say? Or are they? I'm guessing.
They're just rando maggots. But I didn't even get to the good part.
Oh God, there's a good part?
No. Oh, that was quality. No.
They were naked?
Very nearly.
Your eyes, boys and girls, they were naked.
And that is the state of having no clothes on and being up to something. They would qualify. But no, apparently they were fully clothed, but they're an anti-vax movement.
Well, that's old news. I mean, we've...
Find a new conspiracy, children.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, get on the... Did they not renew their subscription to...
Wingnut Daily?
Yeah, Wingnut Daily. Thank you. You don't want to see the centerfold. More staples for
Wingnut House and Outhouse?
Yeah, Miss Wingnut of July is really a looker.
Well, I mean... If you can tear her away from her corn husks.
they thought they were blocking traffic, did they? I mean,
it gets worse. I mean, because the first couple of hours were so goddamn heavy. But this is Moran Monday. It's the 4th of July, but it's Moran Monday. It's a goose egg Moran Monday, but it is Moran Monday. And I don't even know if anybody knew I was going to be on the air, because I said it was kind of iffy. But, hell, I work all the time, so it was a safe bet that I was going to be here. Anyway, that ain't all.
Uh-oh.
Then there's Michigan.
Michigan.
Oh, for the love of...
You know, if you rearrange the letters in the city, Detroit, you get rioted? Anyway, go ahead.
There is no Moran Monday story I can bring up that doesn't usually have an air of, oh, come on, Robin. Really? You expect us to believe that? But please...
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers.
Uh-oh.
These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Right. And so let me introduce to you...
From Michigan.
The Trump-backed Michigan Secretary of State nominee. She has won her primary already.
Yep.
Do that again.
Yep.
She sure did. God damn it, Scott.
Yep, we love her. We love her. We put her up there, and she's our candidate.
Yep. Sometimes you just need a yelp.
Yep, well, my droopy dog always says woof, woof. Yep.
So let me introduce you. Help me, Jesus.
Yes, oh Lord, do we beseech thee.
Let me introduce you to Christina Caramo, the MAGOT nominee, the GQP nominee for Secretary of State in Michigan. She is, in fact, I'll go ahead and mention this. She's a woman of color, and there's a great hue and cry against the present Democratic Secretary of State because. Grunting and barking and hooting. I mean, yup. You've ruined me.
No, I'm just sitting there being as quiet as a church bell.
Do you remember the lady, and I use the term loosely, you remember the woman, she was a doctor and still licensed to practice medicine in the state of Texas, who was part of America's frontline doctors. And, of course, she was big into hustling, antifungal vaccines for warthogs. Oh, God, here's a picture of Bobby Cremo in his Where's Waldo costume. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And I'm not...
You got that little net hat on?
Yes! God, we sound like the morning swap meet. She's got that little knit on. Yes. I'm laughing to keep from crying. I'm sorry.
That's a newborn cap. I imagine it squeezes his head quite a bit.
Oh no. So I'm digging through here because I gotta get the audio because we gotta hear the audio. Let's see.
Is this the lady in Michigan?
Yeah, hell yeah.
I have seen her.
No, the lady in Michigan is not the woman from the doctor who said that because I was trying to just, you know, oh, Jesus.
You're trying to confuse me, aren't you?
Kinda.
Oh, dear.
But she's the one who said that impotence is caused by, and I gotta make sure I get this right. Impotence is caused when a demon attacks a man's genitals and hides his sperm at the bottom of the sea.
Wait a minute. Now, is that the SpongeBob effect?
Well, I think in this case it would be Squidward, don't you?
Yes, okay.
And so, you know, she's showed up at Save America rallies and the like. And Christina Caramo, again, Christina Caramo, ladies and gentlemen, here. Let me get everything. She is the nominee for Secretary of State of Michigan. If you do not get the hockey puck out for this, this is on you. I want to be abundantly clear. I've given you all the time in the world. You should know that there is a really, really clip coming. If you do not have the hockey puck out by now, well, you're just going to have to own it.
Grab a couch cushion.
Yeah. Okay, here.
If a person has demonic possession, I know it's going to sound really crazy me saying that for some people. They're going to be like, what? But having intimate relationships with people who are demonically possessed or oppressed, I strongly believe that a person opens themselves up to possession. Demonic possession is real. How people become possessed, I don't know all the details of it, but I would surmise that the sexual licentiousness in our culture is a lot of spiritual things that are going wrong. If a person...
Did you get enough? I can play it again if you'd like.
Well, I mean, go ahead. I want to hear more because I've got
No, it's the same clip all over again. I don't know if we can stand this much crazy.
All right, so her thing is if you have unlawful carnal relations with a demon-possessed person, you get demonized. So if I do it with my blow-up girl, do I get vulcanized? I mean, somebody has got
well played.
To me. because I'm very confused at this point. Play it again. I want to hear it.
Okay. Here, I'll mute my mic so there won't be quite so much noise.
If a person has demonic possession, I know it's going to sound really crazy me saying that for some people. They're going to be like, what? But having intimate relationships with people who are demonically possessed or oppressed, I strongly believe that a person opens themselves up to possession. Demonic possession is real. How people become possessed, I don't know all the details of it, but I would surmise that the sexual licentiousness in our culture is a lot of spiritual things that are going wrong. If a person has demonic possession...
Yeah, hold on. She doesn't know all the details, Scott. But well, she's got the broad outline.
I was going to... Now, has she written a book about this? Because there was some lady some years ago, maybe 10 or 12 years ago...
She seems a bit too young for that.
Because this lady wrote a book about it.
But remember, she's part... Okay, hold on. One, she is the Republican nominee. She stands a fighting chance of becoming the Secretary of State in Michigan, which will put her in charge of elections there. One.
Yeah. How many listeners do we have in Michigan? I would take note of that.
Oh, I know that among others, I know Joy in Ann Arbor is already well-versed in Christina Caramo.
And isn't this their current game plan to get GOP Secretaries of State?
Right, and just declare maggot winners wherever anybody... Hell, they don't even need to vote anymore. But the thing is, this is the nominee of a party in the United States that, wait for it, believes in demonic possession.
Oh, of course.
Believes with all their hearts. I don't know. Maybe if some dude goes off, maybe her husband went off and got it on with some woman that was not her, and he came back and didn't want her anymore. And well, must be demons. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if. Now, I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, Robin, but I'm thinking if what she says has even a speck of truth to it, Trump should be worried. Because, I mean...
Work through this for me.
I don't want to cast aspersions, but he's got quite a few notches in his bedpost, I mean, according to his own... words.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't guarantee that he's been possessed by a demon. He just happened to get it on with unpossessed porn stars.
Believe me. If he was as promiscuous as I am led to believe in the 70s, where it was going on big time in the 70s.
Right.
Because you got to remember that was the age of disco. Let me lay this out for the younger listeners.
Okay.
The 50s were a snooze, and then the 60s were just as raucous as all get out, okay? The 70s came, and carrying over from the 60s, the party-like atmosphere, we had the age of discos and anything goes and all manner of stuff. And by the 80s, Reagan came in. And we kind of all took a nap, and the next thing we knew, it was the 90s. And that was Trump's prime time in the 70s, according to his own admission. He was quite the Lothario. Is that the word I'm looking
for? I think that's a well-chosen piece of
quite
vocab,
the Casanova,
yes.
According to his telling of the tale. Okay, so I would... There must, given the dozens and dozens of ladies, there had to be a demon in there somewhere. I mean, just the law of averages.
But, you know, as Ron and Raleigh points out, oh, whee! Michiganders will run, not walk, to the polls to vote for this insane woman. Religion is not the opiate of the masses. It is the hallucinogen of the Republicans.
Oh, the PCP-laced dog yummies. They'd lap that...
Did you say PCP-laced dog yummies?
Yeah. Woof, woof, woof. You may have some of that. Some more of that.
Angel dust bacon. Angel dust bacon. Angel dust bacon.
Bacon strips.
Good God.
And yes, they will line up for hours to vote for somebody like that. Because they reflect the values of Michiganders of that type.
And see, one of the things that disturbs me is that this is just another example of the Alabamaization of Michigan.
Woman.
You know, I guess, let's see, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky. Ah, there it is. Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, Michigan. There's your vector of transmission. So, oh, my God.
Do we know how she's doing in terms of support?
I have not seen those numbers, but, well, here, let me consult the news story.
I'm going to get some coffee.
By the way, she also says that abortion is child sacrifice and a satanic practice.
Oh, kiss my...
Abortion is really nothing new. The child sacrifice is a very satanic practice, and that's precisely what abortion is, and we need to see it as such. She's a community college professor. Oh, my fucking God. She's been teaching people.
Oh, God, well...
She showed up on a podcast in October of 2020 called It's Solid Food. No idea.
With the solid food dancers, I presume? Or?
Shut up. She said, when people in other cultures, when they engage in child sacrifice, they didn't just sacrifice the child for the sake of bloodshed. They sacrificed the child because they were hoping to get prosperity. And that's precisely why people have abortion now. Because I'm not ready. I don't want to have a baby. I don't feel like it. I don't have time. I want to make more money. I want my freedom. I wonder if the 10-year-old in Ohio said any of that. I don't know. So you're sacrificing that child, hoping to get something out of their death, which is your freedom, your happiness, your prosperity. Now, this is a black woman, and she described abortion as the greatest crime of our nation's history. Slavery? Bueller?
Yeah.
Bueller? The genocide of entire cultures? Indigenous cultures? Nope.
I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on the radio, but just from what you've described here, this woman is profoundly unwell.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not pushing back on that. And the thing is, Digby over at Hullabaloo said, and I think trenchantly, it's tempting to assume that nuts like this can't be elected, so hurrah, the good guys win. I do not know why any of us should do that. After all we've seen, there's a good chance that some of them are going to win. After all, the country elected Donald Trump. Anything can happen.
See, this is in all seriousness, this is the time for whatever remnant that there exists of the Republican Party that still has a few viable brain cells to bang together. Puts a stop to this because on the one hand, I wouldn't mind seeing the party, the GOP, end up on the ash heap of history. I mean, until it can reconstitute itself into something within hailing distance of sanity, by and large. Okay? I mean, I don't mind having an opposing party, but it's hard to do battle in an electoral sense with a bunch of people who are rip-roaring crazy as a March hare. And it's like, yes, there are people who will vote for people like that, but we've got to run against them, and we ought to be mopping the floor with people like that. We really ought to be, because it comes down to the question, are you reality-based? Or are you cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
Well, and see, there's a question at work there. Or, you know, you talk about cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. At the very close of her piece, Digby said something that I have said time and time and time again on this program. You find one of these wackadoodle candidates, and wow, you're crazy. No, honey, that is a mainstream. She and Digby said this at the end of the piece. She is a mainstream Republican. She's a member of the Republican Party just as much as Bishop Willard Romney is, or Adam Kinzinger, or yes, Liz Cheney. Okay? This is the modern Republican Party. We can't excuse our way around it. This is who they are. So, yeah, she's got a shot. As long as Republicans have the right to vote, she's got a shot. And if she wins, the 2024 Michigan primary is going to be hell among the yearlings. And by the way, Ron in Raleigh writes, and I'm going to knock off here a little bit early. My 4th of July tradition, Ron in Raleigh says, each 4th of July I listen to James Earl Jones reading the Frederick Douglass speech on what the 4th of July means to him. Joe Biden stated that America was the only country built on the proposition that all men were created equal. However, he didn't mention that people that look like me weren't included in that all men BS. Racism then, racism now, racism forever. I don't like it when you channel George Wallace, Ron. And that's why I have no, and I've long had little patience for the platitudes of the 4th of July. I mean, I remember getting sincerely pissed off as a child when I read about the clause that they, because nobody ever reads the actual grievances in the Declaration of Independence. You remember the clause in there about the merciless Indian savages?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody ever brings that up. I mean, you got to wonder who was merciless first.
Well, I'm still trying to get my head around how did we discover a place that was already occupied?
Yeah, I know.
Well, can I recommend for you and the rest of the Horn family another listening tradition that they might institute if they haven't done it already for the 4th of July? And I've been doing this for several years.
Mm-hmm.
The very first album by the Firesign Theater was called Waiting for the Electrician or Someone Like Him. And you can find it on YouTube. Listen to it for free. It's a comedy album, but it's not really. It's more theater of the mind and the imagination than it is strict, you know, comedy. Waiting for the Electrician or somebody like or someone like him, by the Firesign Theater, from 1968, I think it was, and it gives a much better version, a more accurate and entertaining version of those long ago years that we're so proud of, about America and the coming to this place and making it our very own. And that's all I'll say about it, other than to give it a listen, because it the story that we tell each other this time of year, every year, as we have our hot dogs and watermelon and fireworks and stuff, frightening dogs and maiming children, the fireworks, not the watermelon. You know, we lie to ourselves and we renew the lie year by year, decade by decade about the greatness of this country. Not that the country isn't great and not that a lot of the people in the country aren't great, but we're a little fucked up on our history in terms of telling the full and true story. And that God knows they don't want us to do that. Look at the textbook issue that seems to be raging on against all reason and sanity and intelligence. Okay. But check it out. It's on YouTube. You may have a few laughs. You may make you weep. I don't know. Waiting for the Electrician or someone like him by the Fireside Theater. You'll thank me later. So, well, I'm sorry you got a knock on throat.
God knows we need a giggle, but, well, I mean, hey, I was here, so, you know, that's a win.
Yeah, I know. I remembered you said you didn't know, and I needed a break from my housework. So I said, well, let me see if Robin's there, and sure enough, you were right there. Right there.
Hot diggity damn. Yep.
Indeed. Well, my best to you and yours and to the greater Horn family. A tip of the old red, white, and blue top hat in your direction, kids. And I guess that's it for now. Back to the housework. Back on your heads.
Well, yup.
Yup, that's right. Back on your heads.
Scott, have a good evening, my friend.
I'm glad I gave you a laugh or two.
Oh, you gave me. They were badly needed. And by the way, Andy the Angry Jew sent me an email with a Twitter Twitter link. Well, I don't know. I saw that one thing that said that I guess they were saying his dad ran for mayor. You know, the disinformation flies so fast and so furious. I think it's probably more than likely that there are multiple cremos, fouls in the greater Highland Park area. But someone has, apparently that tweet got pulled. So.
Oh, speaking of tweets, I sent you one from Stephen King.
Oh, yeah. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, you must be Susan Collins.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
That was a clever turn of the phrase.
Oh, I agree. Oh, and one more thing since we were talking about Michigan before you go.
Michigan. It's where the cereal comes from. Battle Creek.
Yep, Battle Creek. And by the way, if you get the opportunity, the movie Jerry and Marge Go Large.
Oh, I've heard that's good.
It is, yeah. Bryan Cranston and Annette Bening, and they do a fantastic job. There's a great cast around them. And
it's a true story.
Based on a true story.
I will check that one out.
Because you mentioned Kellogg's, and that made me think. Because he was a retired, like, some sort of, like, junior, lower-level executive at Kellogg's. That's where the story starts.
Well, speaking of films, the guy that played Hannibal Lecter, what was his name? I can't think of it. The British actor.
Yeah, sir or something.
I don't know. That could be anybody.
Well, it ain't me.
Well, no, it ain't me either. Anyway, there was a movie about 12, 15 years ago. About
Anthony Hopkins. Kidding, yeah.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the guy's name. There was a film, the name of which escapes me right now, but look on IMDb under Anthony Hopkins and you'll find it. And it was based, you talk about Michigan and the crazy people who are there, and then I mentioned Battle Creek and Kellogg's of Battle Creek. There was the Kellogg brother, William Kellogg, who gave us the cornflakes that we know and love around our breakfast table even today. And then there was his brother who had a sanitarium, a health sanitarium in Michigan years and years ago, who was one of the crazy ones. I don't know any other way to say it, who gave some rather unorthodox so-called health treatments at his sanitarium. And that just goes to show you, even in families, you can have people that bring something that America loves, and then you can have a member of the family that is just out to do strange and wonderful things to you. But there's a movie based on, I think his name was John Harvey Kellogg, was the other brother that I'm speaking of, and Anthony Hopkins is in it. And look for it and watch it. It is a laugh riot. And people used to buy into those sort of health treatments. The rich would come from far and wide to partake, eating mush in the morning.
Yeah, that was the link between the Kellogg cereal and the Kellogg sanitarium.
Yeah, one brother was the sanitarium brother.
But there was a health craze that somehow or another, cornflakes would do something spectacular for you. But anyway.
The Road to Wellville.
Yeah, The Road to Wellville. That was the film, yes.
Very funny film.
So it turns out, via Vice, that a group of Boy Scouts were taken on a tour of a police department outside of Detroit, and they showed them the shooting range. Okay. So what? Well, the scouts looking at the shooting range found out that this police department uses posters of black men in knit caps or backward hats. You know, one guy's wearing a pair of overalls, another one's got like a some sort of a field jacket on. They're both holding guns and look. Yeah.
On the target end of the...
Yeah, those are the targets.
Oh, dear.
And we wonder why we have the problems that we have.
They made in Akron, I wonder?
No, probably China.
No, I mean, you heard the story about the driver in Akron who didn't fare very well at the hands of the police here the other day.
Yes, I did.
I mean, that...
Farmington Hills Police Department of Michigan. And they took pictures of the scouts touring the facility. And Vice writes, in one photo from the tour, six white scouts are looking at the targets, the same image of a black man with a menacing look and pointing a gun, while a black Boy Scout stands behind them. I mean, they're literally profiling on the shooting range.
Now, well, that should tell us something. And again, in Michigan.
Meanwhile, there's Farmington Police Chief Jeff King. He said, "Well, I'll take this one on the chin. I apologize to each and every person in this room, this community, my department, my city council, my manager. I can't overlook this." And but then, of course, he did what police chiefs do so well, and that is kind of doubled down. "A diverse group of targets were on display the day of the tour, not just targets featuring black people. Unfortunately, this was not accurately depicted in the photographs, as the photographs only depict a small area of the department's firing range and a select number of the targets that were presented and discussed during the group tour."
He said, evading the main point.
Missing the point, deliberately missing the point entirely?
Get Dana Bash on the phone. She needs to have him on, since she seems to be a platform for people who minimize and up.
Well, it only gets worse, because then they called in Assistant Chief John, no really, Piggott.
Great name for a cop.
And he said that, well, you know, normally what we do is we use only silhouettes and bullseyes when we're testing the accuracy of our officers shooting. But then when we move up to teaching them about threat assessment, that's when we use the Negroes.
Oh, God, he's doubling down, too.
No, he didn't say that's when but he said, you know, once we start training officers on threat assessment, and all the default targets are holding guns, but their hands can be swapped out to hold a beer can, a cell phone, or nothing at all. The problem is the cops still shoot those guys, too. I'm surmising.
Well, I would, if I were in charge, where's this, Farmville?
No, Wellville. No, Farmington Hills Police Department, Michigan.
Well, give me credit. I knew there was a farm in there somewhere. Okay, go down the city roster of employees and find out which employee ordered that particular style of target for the shooting range of police department, and have them in for a little talk. And if they are resistant or upset by the idea of having a little talk, fire them or demote them or give them a job.
Oddly enough, that you know it can be changed out to be holding a beer can or a cell phone or something. I know my Michigan accent's terrible, but it reminded me. I think this is our first movie reference of the evening. It reminded me of an early scene in the first Men in Black movie. You're familiar, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
Will Smith is brought in, and he takes the test, and, you know, best of the best of the best, sir. Don't even know why we're here. I love him. And then they take him to the firing range, and all these monsters come across. And the best of the best of the best, sir, just blazing away. And Will Smith, being a smart NYPD cop, waits and wastes a little girl with books in her arms.
Yeah.
And when they debrief him, what about? Well, at first I thought he was a monster. Then I realized he was just doing pull-ups, and I thought, well, how would I like it if somebody busted a cap in my ass while I was working out? Yeah, but what about little Susie over here? I'm thinking, well, okay, but then what's a little white girl doing with a book about atomic physics and how to build a bomb?
Yeah, banned books. That was her deal.
Jeez.
And so, you know, this is sickening. I mean, how does anybody think that's okay?
Well, they don't. I don't, and you don't.
I mean, can you not just do a silhouette and interchange guns and beer cans and cell phones and sandwiches and stuff with the silhouette?
Well, I think some enterprising reporter needs to get the city roster
and find out who ordered the gun.
Who's in charge?
That's Kleagle Krasinski over there in purchasing.
You know, I mean, I'm serious when I say that, because those posters didn't just appear by miracle or magic. Somebody had to order those I'm sure there's a police supply catalog from which these orders are figured out.
Yeah, but when they're as racist as that, Scott, I mean, is it like when you used to go to the video store when VCR cassette and, you know, you had to go behind the dingy shower curtain to find the dirty movies? I mean, is there, you know, warning, this is the racist police department. What?
They told me my rentals were private. Now, how do you know about all that? And that shower curtain.
The shower curtain was a sort of putrid lime green, and it had polka dots on it.
Usually, and I'm telling you, and this I'm speaking from experience, and you may know this too. The the video store in Jefferson City, Missouri.
I was never there, and you can't prove it.
No, I've seen the cards. The membership cards. Had quite the selection of films of that sort, and I'm telling you. But anyway, I'm just saying that's a serious thing, and to the extent you can find someone to pin it on, I mean, the head of the police department's not going to take responsibility. Get to the bottom of it and find out who ordered those posters, and what the selection was, and how they pick those out of, I'm sure that the police equipment catalog, had more posters of different types than that. I mean, that's got to be the case. And that's the person that you need to lower the boom on. Because that just, if you've got a problem with the attitude of police in parts of this country to start with, what is the sense or good to come of encouraging them and reinforcing those types of attitudes? I mean, come on.
Well, I know, and you know, you can be kind of maybe. I mean, I'm astonished that in 2021 there's still somebody out there. Yeah, how could this ever be a bad thing for our police department? Well, you know, we have to know how to kill them. What? I mean, can you interchange them to hold a can of Arizona tea and a bag of Skittles too?
Well,
fuck!
I've never fired a gun in my life, okay? But I know a little something about targets. And targets, maybe I'm out of step with modern society, but didn't targets used to be just pretty much a silhouette of a person? And you couldn't even tell if the person, you couldn't tell the race or the gender or anything. It was just a suggestion of a human outline. And there wasn't a bullseye and concentric rings or anything like that, or there might have been on some of them. But I'm just saying, somebody made a deliberate choice in the choosing and ordering of those particular, unless, of course, they were ordering from a catalog that wasn't official. You know, because I'm sure that if you go to the Klan catalog or the Skinhead catalog, you can find all manner of stuff that shouldn't be used by responsible organizations. So maybe it was that. Maybe the guy is somebody's brother-in-law that sells shit on the side. I don't know. But it's worth looking.
Well, yeah, maybe they got it at one of these little festival booths like we have around here that sell the AR-15 t-shirts that say, "Is it because I'm black?"
Yeah.
Or the Confederate flags.
And I'm sure that community has a newspaper that employs reporters. Somebody really needs to look into it and call these fuckers to account. That's, you know, that's the only way any meaningful change, or at least avoidance of small issues becoming big ones later on down the road, is by exercising what freedoms we've got left to ask questions and get answers, demand answers. Don't leave till you get answers. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not pushing back. But we got a little follow-up on Kellogg's. Ron in Raleigh says, Great Britain has blocked Kellogg's from selling their sugar-laden cereals on Turf Island. Ron says on the Sceptred Isle, the modern name is Turf Island. John never consummated his marriage. Cornflakes were touted as an anti-masturbation food, like graham crackers. You know, I never cared for white bread. My mom would give me graham crackers and peanut butter every day in my lunch. I'll be damned. Didn't work.
Well, we all know. And, well, I stopped when I found I needed glasses, so...
Well, you know, there was a moment I was talking about the parade, and the float was just beautiful. It had a red outline and had a pink background and a red, big red tissue paper uterus. And, you know, fallopian tubes and ovaries there. And I looked at one of the other women and I said, "You know, 90% of the men on this parade route are going to have no idea what this is." And she said, "Oh, I know, I know." But on the way back, it was raining harder, and we'd all gotten on the trailer for the ride back instead of walking back 2 miles. And the driver pulling the trailer kind of opened it up, and we were going along at a pretty fair clip. And one of the other women reached forward and kind of put her hand right on the uterus and grabbed the chicken wire. I just looked at her, and I just looked at her and said, "You better stop that, or you'll go blind."
Yeah, no, I.
And she pulled her hand away real quick, and just laughed. You know, 90% of the men on this route are not going to know what this is. Oh, we know. Oh, Scott, a note came in from Jude. She said, "Tipping my hat to you both and to our community in respect for always seeking the ground of reality and being painfully wide awake as we need each other. Be well." Thank you, Jude. We do. And I hope nobody took umbrage at the fact that Scott and I clown around a little bit, because the first 2 hours of this program were heavier than a barrel of uranium-238. I mean, well, heavy.
And I think by now people should know that I raise the serious points just as well as anybody else. But there's no rule that says you can't have a little fun raising the serious points.
Well, I mean, this guy, that little neo-maxi-zoom dweeby, that pencil-neck geek, and I mean, really, He looks like the cover of an incel Christmas card, for fuck's sake. When I saw where's the picture Waldo? Of him, and when I saw him in the picture of the with the Where's Waldo get up, I'm like, this kid. I mean, if he dressed up total normie, okay. And he'd grown his hair down over some of his more noteworthy tattoos on his head. This guy walks into a gun store. How does a responsible gun store, federal firearms license holder, go, ah, yeah, he looks fine to me?
Well, that's what I was saying with the spin art. You know, refugees, you know, a reject from a spin art booth at the carnival. I mean, you've got to be just because someone's old enough to have a gun.
I mean, do these gun shop owners, do they, like, I don't know, they get their heart rates go up when somebody comes in and says, let me see an AR-15, and they're like, oh, okay, we're going to eat good tomorrow.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure the
product, yeah, well, okay, yeah, come over here, buddy. Look, yeah, I got all kinds of AR-15s. I mean, I got a whole price range. I got everything from $349 to $2,200 bucks. You got the money, kid? Yeah.
Let me see your
ID. Yeah, you're old enough. Okay. Well, here, what do you want to spend? Well, I don't know. I need something in a mid-range, you know, and I'd like to have at least 100 rounds capacity. Yeah, what are you planning on doing? Shooting up a parade? How did you know? No! I mean, what are these fuckers doing?
What kind of profit margin is involved with the selling of firearms? I guess it would depend on make and model and
oh, sure. I mean,
whistles.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. I we've got to get serious about this, and we keep.
You know, maybe we need a little bit of subversive, creative. What anarchy here? What would they not sell? To whom would a gun dealer in Wisconsin not sell a gun? Oh, and by the way, happy birthday to our buddy Nick in Wisconsin. If you walk in a clown suit, will they still sell you an AK-47? If you walk in a Freddy Krueger costume, will they still sell you an AK-47? If you walk in done up like what's his name? Sorry, can't remember. The really, really psycho Joker makeup. Will they still sell you an AR? Did I say AK-47 a minute ago? I meant AR-15. There may be some butthurt gun humper out there. See, she said AK-47. She don't even know what kind of gun good God fearing white boys like to use to shoot up parades. But I'd like to know. You know, here's a crazy idea. Maybe the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, I mean, firearms is in their name, Scott.
Yeah.
Maybe the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms could, like, send in some undercover buyers. You know, like the ABC does here in West Virginia. They'll send in a kid to try to buy a pint of booze, or they'll send in people to convenience stores to try to buy a pack of cigarettes. But the NRA would probably have a hissy over that, wouldn't they? Well, you don't have a constitutional right to buy a pint of booze. Hold on, Cephas. There actually is a constitutional right to buy a pint of booze. So I'm going to wrap things up. Scott, you have yourself a good night.
Well, I will. And you
Jude added that we need to balance things with humor, and humor leads to some clarity. And there's truth in that. You know, yeah. there's a lot of topics in this country where the only way you can actually approach it is via humor.
Yeah. And this is something that I've tried to exercise for some years, that you don't want to frighten people. You don't want to upset people unnecessarily. But you still want to get the point across. And sometimes, if you give it a nice candy, a thin candy shell, with a little chocolate on the inside, and then the nugget of information deep buried deep within it, it helps the medicine go down.
Well, exactly, exactly.
And we need some, just to close it up, we need some powerful medicine in this country. If you can't have a fucking Independence Day parade without some twerp coming in, lugging the gun behind him, you know, wearing his Waldo cap, then there's something terribly wrong. What are you, where is the independence in the Independence Parade if you can't do it peaceably and then go have your picnic? I mean, what the
well,
hell?
I mean, remember the tree, as the Second Amendment fetishists so constantly remind us, the tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure.
Well, I agree with
you. You know, Tom Jefferson was an agriculturalist, so he spent a lot of time thinking about natural manure. And, wow, you know, the enslaved woman that he kept in the room, locked in the room that didn't have any goddamn windows. Never mind. Got to get out of here, Scott. Talk to you
all
soon.
Right, good night. Good night, Robin. Good night, Horn family. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Wherever you are and all the ships at sea. Later.
See
ya. And, so, yeah, wrap up. Okay, I'm going to wrap up, you know, like 5 minutes early. Oh, well. Hey, at least we got all the shows in on Podbean last month. Winning. But, so this was a goose egg, probably because nobody knew I was going to be on the air. Oh, well. But just the same, thanks for tuning in, if you did. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. It'll be me tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that already. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. I immediately thought of Ben and Eugene and Karen and a lot of my friends in the greater Chicagoland area when I saw the news. Jesus. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And now proudly a union shop. Please stay safe. Get your get your booster. Maintain your social distance. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. And if somebody comes wandering, comes galumphing down the road towards you, saying, "We shut down I-270 today in the name of freedom and our vaccines." Avoid that COVID idiot like the plague. Also, avoid anyone coming towards you who says that you can catch a demon by having sexy time, because they're both, well, the plague. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later. Oh, one last thing. Note from Darlene. It's not enough that Repig's fetus fetishists have overturned Roe, but they've had to pile on massive amounts of guilt by bemoaning the 60 million babies that have died from abortion since 1973. You see, they're still trying to get the upper hand. Why that exceeds even the Holocaust. I mean, the Holocaust. So don't all you Jews keep getting all uppity about the Holocaust. The Christians have got you beat. So pipe down and move over, Judaism. They're coming for you, too. I'm still waiting for them to figure out how many more trans babies that's going to mean that they're forcing to be born. Well, all we need is a little conversion therapy. Anyway, I got to get out of here. Later.